Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is God with us, our Savior. Amen. Our sermon text tonight are selected verses from our gospel reading. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you sent the angels that night to proclaim to the shepherds the good news that your son had been born in Bethlehem. And we thank you for those shepherds and the countless generations of those since that time who have continued to make that proclamation that we have a Savior. Christ is born in Bethlehem. And we thank you that through the ages that good news has made its way here to this place so far away that it might enter into our hearts and take away our fear and cleanse us of our sins and make us ready for the heavenly places on account of Jesus, our Savior, who was born so many years ago. We ask tonight that you would make us holy, that you would set us apart from this world by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, what are you doing here this evening? We could be at home. You could be gathered around the Christmas tree. You could be eating a nice meal. You could be opening presents. What in the world prompted you to venture out on this stormy night to come here to this place to be with a bunch of people, some of whom you don't even know? Why are you here? What made you choose to put this night into your schedule? If I were an outsider looking into our sanctuary tonight, I might think, well, maybe they're there because it's tradition. Maybe they're there because that's what they do on Christmas Eve. Families go to church together on Christmas Eve. Maybe they might think that we're here because of the music, because we love to sing those Christmas carols and those Christmas hymns. Maybe somebody might think we like to come because of the beautiful decorations or the candles or, well, who knows what they think. Obviously, we love all those things, our family traditions, our decorations, our music. We love those things, but music and atmosphere and tradition seem to be common to a lot of things in this world. Even rock concerts, and Packer games, Viking games, Packer and Vikings games. What makes this event so special for us that we would come here? What's at the heart of this Christmas Eve service? Well, I think the heart of this service, the essence of what this service is all about, is that announcement that the angel made. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Why are we here today? It's because of that announcement. Today, Jesus, the Savior, is born. Now, from that angel's announcement, we learn a couple of important things. First of all, the angel said he's born in the town of David. Doesn't seem like much to us, not terribly important in our ears, but think about what happens when a baby is born today. The parents, they're so excited. They send out birth announcements in the mail. They send out a bunch of emails to explain the child was born in this place and was this many inches long and weighed this much, and they put all those important details in there. When God announces the birth of His Son, He doesn't put it on a piece of paper and send it by U.S. Postal Service. He doesn't send it out electronically over the internet by email. Instead, He sent His angel to make this important announcement that this baby was born in Bethlehem. Today, in the town of David, the angel says. Now, to a first century Jewish shepherd, that phrase had a lot more meaning than it does for us. The town of David was packed with meaning. They knew immediately that the angel was talking about Bethlehem, and they weren't far from Bethlehem, where King David had been born 1,000 years before that. They knew that the town of David was Bethlehem. They knew that the prophet Micah had singled out Bethlehem and said that the Savior would be born there. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. That was the prophecy about the town that they were just outside of. And those shepherds probably knew this passage by heart because they were from Bethlehem. Yet they didn't know until that angel told them that very night that in the town of David a Savior had been born. Think about the impact of that statement for just a moment. That one word, today, for thousands of years, countless generations, people had been waiting upon that word, waiting for it. Ever since God promised the serpent there in the Garden of Eden that He would send a son of Eve who would crush that serpent's head. Ever since God made that promise right before Adam and Eve, people had been waiting for God to send His Savior. Generation after generation, tenaciously clinging to that word, that promise of the Lord that He would send a Savior from sin. And there's that word coming from the mouth of the angel that night. Today. We might find ourselves thinking, well, that was an awfully long time ago, and this is all old news to us. Yet those words still have great meaning for us, even today. It means, first of all, that God keeps His promises. We have so many in the Bible, 700 years before Jesus' birth, God said that He would be with us, Emmanuel. God had promised that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem through Micah. And now God here is making good on that promise. When God says that in all things he works for the good of those who love him, well, you can take that promise to the bank. It's going to come true because God said it. When God promises, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you, why, you should believe that. He does not lie. His promises come true. And what greater promise has come true than this promise of the Savior? Even if God had to change the whole world, even if he had to somehow bring the pagan emperor to call a census for tax purposes, why, the Lord had planned on that, and he brought that about so that on that very night, Mary and Joseph were there in Bethlehem with all the other relatives. And there were so many of them there that there was no room for them in the inn, and they were staying out there in the stable. And then Christ was born. God keeps his promises. Second, you should know from those words that God chose to carry out his plan of salvation in history. This isn't some myth. This isn't a legend. This really happened about 2,000 years ago. It was accomplished when God himself became a human being, one of us, to save us from our sins. He didn't become some nameless person. He didn't become some mythical figure. He became that little Jewish boy that was there in that manger, surrounded by all those animals and the shepherds, real people. Remember that the next time somebody tries to tell you that Christianity is really all about the feeling of love, that Christmas is good cheer and the spirit of giving. Those things are wonderful things, but that's not what Christmas is about. Those things are associated with Christmas, but Christmas is about that child, about that Son of God there in that manger. Tonight is the celebration of that birth. There's another thing I want you to take home from that word today. Today in the town of David. God Almighty cares about you. He cared about you so much that he left the great pavilions and the glorious expanse of heaven to come down and be in the womb of that virgin and be born in mean circumstances into our world. He became one of us. Sometimes we're tempted to think that God is up there and he doesn't understand what sorts of difficulties we face in our lives. Sometimes we think, how can he? He's up there in heaven. How can he know the temptations that I have to deal with all the time? But remember, God was born in a barn, in a stable. He was laid to sleep in a feed bunk. Just think about the first smell that entered his little nose. It wasn't pleasant. Jesus was made like you and me in every way, except that he was without sin. He was made like you and me to sympathize with our weaknesses and to bear our sins in our place. The Christmas narrative that we hear tonight underscores the fact that God came into our world to relate to us and to our problems, and then ultimately to rescue us from that greatest of all problems that we have, our separation from God. He bridged the gap. In fact, that's really the more important announcement made by the angel that night. The angel goes on after he has said today, and he announces that this child was born to be our Savior. Now, that word Savior, I'm afraid, has come to mean a lot of different things. When you think of the Savior of the world, a lot of people will immediately think about Superman or Think about those that want to stop global climate change or end disease or find a way to get people out of poverty or to give them a better life by stopping wars. That's not God's idea of a Savior. Those things are just symptoms of the real problem. The problem is that we are separated from God, separated from Him by our sins, separated from Him by our selfishness. We don't look out for Him and our neighbor. We look out for ourselves. We don't listen to God by nature. We want Him and the rest of creation to serve our needs so that we have a pleasant life. The Bible puts it so bluntly. There's no one who does good, not even one. And again, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then the Bible goes on to tell us what the penalty is for this sin. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And again, the prophet Ezekiel says, "The soul who sins is the one who will die." That's not just the physical death, but eternal death in hell. That's what every human being deserves in God's court of justice. We deserve His wrath, but God did something amazing because there is such great love in His heart. He sent His Son to be our Savior. That's why this announcement of the angel is so important. Jesus was born. He did come. He did live a life without a single sin. He lived a perfect life in a way that we never could, because He is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. He lived without sin, and He offered that life to God on the cross as the all-sufficient payment for what we've done. Jesus took upon Himself our sins, bore the entire load of all mankind's sinning, and took it to the cross, and died with it there for us, and rose again on the third day to give us eternal life. This child of God, my goodness, what an important announcement that angel had to make that night. Jesus was there. He's not just an example of brotherly love. He's not just an example of some vague idea of Christmas love. Jesus is God's grace personified. Jesus is the very undeserved love of God for us, for you and me, for us sinners, for those shepherds that night, for Mary and Joseph, for all the people of Bethlehem, for all the people of the world. Jesus came to be their Savior, our Savior, my Savior and yours. No one is left out from that. Is it any wonder that the angels and people have been praising God for this fact ever since then? Glory to God in the highest. That rings out in churches across the world every Sunday. And on earth, peace, good will toward men. What an amazing proclamation God has made to you through His angels, His messengers of grace. What about us? The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. What about us? Are we able to see in truth that the Savior has been born? Do we know that in our hearts? Are we able to see past all the stuff that gets cluttered in our lives around Christmas time? Santa and Christmas sales and all the lights and the decorations in our homes and the meals that have to be prepared. Yes, I say yes. That's why we're here tonight. We're here tonight to hear this word of God, the word that proclaims to us that Jesus has been born. He's opened the gates of heaven. He's given us a reason to live. He's given us a reason to rejoice. He's given us a reason to glorify God. That's why we're here tonight. That's why we're here, because there's nothing we'd rather do than revel in the good news of great joy that is for all people. Revel in the word of God that says, today in the town of David a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. May that message fill your hearts tonight. And may that message fill your lives with Christmas joy and peace. There's no greater gift than what God has given you in that word, in that gospel message. And there's no greater gift that you can give than the one God gave to us, the one the angels proclaim, the one who is our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. Rejoice, dear Christians. Christ is born. Amen.